Probably Tuesday night.
August 7th?
April 7th.
2021. Yes, Lord, by your Spirit. That you'd be with us tonight.
Yes.
That we would be able to enter into that place with you. With you, Lord. With you. Be able to enter into that place of truth. Be able to feed on your word. We wouldn't just comprehend it or something. That it would become part of us. Part of us, Lord. By your Spirit. Cause that good work to be done. And Lord, that we would be wise in web some in a way that transcends whatever happens on this earth, whatever man
yes.
Do. That it would be wise with heavenly wisdom. Grant that by your grace, by your Spirit tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was telling Candy the other day, couple of days ago, that I that God has like blessed me so much in so many ways, and that to almost to a concerning point, serious, because he's all my life, even before I knew him, he's just taking so good care of me, you know, and I'm just so thankful. And seriously, it's almost a little worry that why is he taking so good care of me? You know what I mean? And you know, Candy, you know, she gives me her explanations, but you know, makes sense, whatever. But I'm just thankful that God has extreme blessed me. Just beyond I couldn't put in words what could I need in my life, and he's given me all. He's just taking so much good care of me. He's answered my prayers. He just gives me some, you know, and I'm satisfied. The things that, you know, if you compare me with somebody else, they maybe have more money, more this, more that, but I have need of nothing. I don't need anything. God has done so much. I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you guys. It's just, I am so thankful. So thankful that you know, just he is such a good God. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, the poor you will have with you always. And, you know, you know, it's like you almost, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to help the poor. But poverty is not, and I've talked about this before, but poverty is not possessions. Poverty is the distance between what you have and what you want to have. Mm-hmm. That's poverty. You know what I mean? You can have a wealthy person with lots of money in the bank and whatever, and he, let's say, can afford a mansion and a house on the beach, no problem. But he desires another mansion and another house on the beach, and he's so much desired that. But you find somebody living in a little tiny house with a leaks with the rain, and their desires is just their heart desires nothing, really. You know what I mean? They don't even enjoy the leak. You know what I mean? So that wealthy man with a house, big house, and he's poor. That's he's poor. You know what I mean? Now you can have people with little, and they in their mind are rich. You know what I mean? They want to hold on to all their stuff. So, but anyways, God has said yes. I was just saying that to Candy. He's just such a good God. I just pray that he, you know, keeps blessing me, you know. And, you know, I think Jesus says, he says this verbatim. He says, pray that your joy may be filled. Am I quoting this right? Mm-hmm. Pray that your joy. See, See, so here we pray. You know, okay, Lord, you know, this is my list. You know, oh, this is what I need. You know, I need these five things. Why? Why do you want better health? And why do you want better job? Or why do you want not a better job, but to keep your job? So you can be happy, because that will make you happy. Basically, all of our prayers are because if we get it, it will make us happy. But long story short, if you just pray for your joy to be filled, if you have joy, God will figure out what gives you joy. You know what I mean? So I've been praying. You know, and really, you know, Jesus says, how much more will the Father give of his Spirit to those that ask? So if you pray for his Spirit, the Spirit of God will fill all your needs and your joy, and you could be like Jesus. He didn't eat for 40 days. Yes, he was hungry, but he was happy. I'm sure he was super happy. He was as happy as he could get. I mean, he got down and said, repent and believe in the gospel. I mean, that's happy to me. You know what I mean? So I've been praying, you know, when I pray, I pray that, you know, Lord, you know, give me your joy. Just give me your joy. I haven't really asked for specific things, you know, for this and that or whatever. I can just pray and, you know, Lord, give me your joy, you know. I don't want to find joy in the world, in earthly things. So anyways, I'm just really thankful, just very, very grateful and thankful.
It is a wonderful thing to be walking in a way, on a path, in which the blessing of the Lord is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's, gee, how do you beat that?
Mm-hmm.
Just the blessing of the Lord is on the path you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it doesn't necessarily involve a lot of possessions or whatever, you know.
I had the thought either today or yesterday, the same about the blessing of the Lord, and it was like I thought, wow, you know, I'm able to work still, and all my family is working, and none of them so far, you know, affected by the virus.
Yeah.
So I thought, Lord, is that just like you letting your blessings overflow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I work with, he's got work, and, you know, because that might slow down now, maybe. Possibly, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Good.
I thought, because, and, you know, and I've been praying for them, you know, too. But it's just kind of like, you know, it's, and I got to be careful how I say this, but it's like, well, I'm going to show favor on my son and his families, you know. And so, I think he's probably doing the same for you guys, you know, if you stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. But,
yeah.
Makes me happy to hear that you feel the same way. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I've thought of that a lot of times.
Yeah.
I thought how many times I knew he was watching over me when I wasn't saved, and why I wasn't dead, how many times, I don't, you know, I mean, just, yeah, lots of things, I love it that you can reflect on that, and that you can see it.
Right.
A lot of people don't see it, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, every once in a while, I'm like, man, I'm blessed. I'm almost like, I had to comprehend, you know,
And I said last Sunday that, you know, this whole thing has helped me tremendously because I'm at home, nothing to do, and I've been spending more time with the Lord. And it's, you know, it's like we've kind of all agreed, we can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it, he heals you.
Yeah.
Great. If he doesn't, you go home.
Right.
Great. If you don't get it, great. He's blessing you.
Right.
You know, he's
what?
So.
Right.
You can't really lose
if
you have the right walk with God, you know?
Yeah.
it is that sense that the Father has his eye on you is a fine,
yeah,
it's just a,
makes you feel,
it's a fine thing. I guess it's probably not any kind of guarantee that there won't be some adversity, you know, of course,
sure,
it'll happen.
I'm looking,
you know,
I'm looking ahead that there's going to be tribulation, but it's going to be because of this.
Nonetheless, the Lord,
hopefully, for the sake of the gospel, you know.
Yeah. You know, there are people that come to the Lord after having gone through terrible trials and whatever. I'm glad that it's not me.
Right.
Whatever way is, his way is right, but still.
Mm. Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of these people go through those trials. I remember a lot of times, you know, you get a friend that gets killed in a car accident, so you decide, I'm going to drive real careful. Next thing you know, you're doing the same thing you were doing before that accident happened.
Sure.
You know, you go back to the old ways.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, sometimes people will turn to the Lord in that time of need, but then next thing you know, they're back to the old ways and they
can
continue on what they were doing.
Sure.
Yeah. You know.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just reminded because of, or I'm sure you weren't down.
No, go ahead. No,
I was thinking of the 10 that had leprosy. You know, and only one came back and he was a foreigner. The rest of them got healed and kind of thought, oh, well, we had that coming. Or whatever they thought, but they didn't come back to praise the Lord. And I'm quite sure they probably, it came back on them, you know. Maybe not. I don't know. But
we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus promises a peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't understand it. That's what it's like. And the words of a song, and a fellow lost his family at sea, and he wrote that song. I don't know what it was. You didn't have any idea? It is well with my soul.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
But anyway, and that is a phenomenal song. I'm a real song.
No, you didn't. Oh, you were fine. You didn't. No, no.
Yeah. And
sometimes you got to get in when you can.
He surpasses understanding.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And you know, only God can give you that. This church over here, and there's just a handful of us down, but this church has had some of the greatest blessings of God ever over the years on us. And that, of course, that's without understanding. I don't know exactly why all of it happened, but we have had some phenomenal things happen. And where we're at right now is the most phenomenal of anything that I ever have experienced, ever. And I just got a call here, that's what I just got a call again from Cliff Bish. And he's been listening to the scriptures with us for close to 20 years. And he was telling me, he said that he is so thankful, that he got, that the Lord helped to lead him into the, so that he kept it in with the scriptures, because he's talking to some people that he had known for years who are not in that category, and they're saying that he's nuts for what he's doing, because that is not the answer. You have to have logical understanding, and you have to reason things out, and it's like, and he said, the evidence of failure is in what they're doing. You know what I mean? They're figuring it out with their heads.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not going anywhere. They're not gaining any ground.
Mm-hmm.
This last thing that God did has been doing for us, I believe, is the most phenomenal of anything I've ever heard of or seen. And we haven't seen the end of it yet. I might be getting old, and you guys are not that many years behind me, and most of you.
some of you are really younger, but anyway. But the thing is, God is doing something, and we're going to be a part of something coming up. And some of it has to do with baptism. And because it is an issue as far as the scriptures are concerned that I have ignored or have been unaware of, or whatever. But there are a lot of scriptures that concerning baptism that I am not exactly sure what they mean. Not just one, not just two. There's a lot of them. And I have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what it says to do. God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If we have all of this information in here about baptism, does God want us to know know more about it than we do? Or is that just so that we just, it means nothing to it? We just go ahead and blindly do it, and that's okay. To obey is better than sacrifice. However, if God says that we should understand, then we should understand.
And you know that applies to a lot.
Yeah.
You were talking about the people that Cliff Bish was talking to that thought it could, you know, it could be gained by natural understanding, you know, our place in the Bible.
Yeah.
They are not reading their Bible.
No.
They are not reading the Bible.
No.
If you read the Bible, you would say that you would realize that to understand it requires that you understand it in the Spirit.
Yeah.
It says that. And if you aren't doing that, then, you know, they are without excuse, as the Book of Romans said.
Well, and that's one of the things that Cliff has told me, says, if you would just start listening to your scriptures, instead of trying to read the mind of God and interpret God's mind yourself, if you just let the scriptures come and talk to you, everything about you would be different. And they said, that don't make sense. Well, of course it don't make sense. That's what we're talking about. It's not going to make sense. How much sense has a lot of the things that we've come into? How much sense has it made? None. And we have come to a revelation of the humanity of Christ. That is a real, genuine, 100% revelation of the scriptures. But you know what? We don't understand it yet, but we got the scriptures that are starting to prove it. And that's what that's what Cliff was saying. He says, it is so obvious from the scriptures, but it's not obvious from logic. And the reason it's not obvious from logic is because logic is the conclusion is drawn from scientifical or from natural observation. And so when you try to figure that out naturally, it ain't going to work. It has to be a faith. Anyway.
I want to go back to that baptism thing, because she's been doing a lot of research on it. I've been helping her with it. So just out of curiosity, I went into Google and asked when the earliest baptism was, you know. And it gave me some kind of an answer. If you go into Leviticus 16, where when Aaron goes into the temple, you know, he has to take a bath, you know, before he goes in, puts on the linen and all that, before he goes into the main part of the
the tabernacle?
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost?
And they kind of referred to that being like maybe an early form of baptism because he had to do that to purify himself to go in there.
You know, that's, and probably has a lot to do with it.
So.
Yeah.
He shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place. Put on his garments, come forth, and yeah, okay.
Right. In order for him to forgive the sins.
Do the whatever.
The remission of the sins. Like what John the Baptist was doing. His remission of sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been really listening or had Romans on a lot lately, and I've been asking, the Lord, I know there's something about Christ, and that one scripture I had that came a couple weeks ago, Christ in you, the hope of glory, but then it led down some of the paths, and I've been thinking and praying and listening, and so what happens, what are you supposed to identify with when you get baptized? You are supposed to die with Christ, baptized into his death, his resurrection, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's all there is, other than what happens if you believe and do that. Well, in Romans it says, so this is in 8, so this is after Paul goes through all the sin thing and everything, and then 8, and so it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you got to start asking yourself, do I have that? We all have to ask ourselves that. Do I have that? Do I believe that? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And we are not debtors to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And it might be before that I was listening. But it says that if you know you wanted, baptism because you wanted to identify with his death, his resurrection, then you should be able to walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. So there's really, I want to be careful how I say that. I think I'm just finally seeing some things that I just didn't pay attention, or I just didn't think they were possible, or what. You know what? All things are possible, it says, especially with Christ in you. And you have to believe you have Christ in you if you were born again, and especially, filled with the Holy Spirit. So then, no magic is going to happen, I don't think. I think you just start walking in it. Now, it sounds like, I'm going to make myself do that. No, I'm not. But I'm going to keep praying and asking Christ to manifest himself in me and just show me how to identify with his death. Well, I know how. It says that when you've been baptized with him, you no longer have sin because you're in a spiritual mode now. And the flesh has sin, but that's not of you any, So, you got to read up, just I've been hearing Romans, and I'm getting mixed up sometimes where the different chapters are and what it's saying, but
can I read my Bible?
I just heard it again today, and it just, it was like, it's like we haven't, I don't know what, accepted what's there.
What were you reading?
Well, the word I just read was in Romans 8, but I think it explains more about the, you know, not walking in the flesh, but in the spirit.
No, but what you just, what you read to us was Romans.
Yeah, that was in verse 8, kind
Romans
of 9
chapter.
Through 11, 12.
Yeah, Romans
8. It's, you know, it's, I haven't really believed some of that stuff, you know. Or maybe I, you know, actually I wasn't aware of it. I never heard it like I've heard it now. And it's starting to mean something now. It's starting to say, this can be mine. This can be yours. You know, and lately, because I was convicted and kind of ashamed that somehow I was walking, you know, I repented and I said, Lord, I want you to give me strength. I want to start turning some of this stuff away. You know, I just don't want to keep doing some of the things. And that's starting to slowly come about. Now, if I continue in that, or you, or whoever, you're just going to keep growing, you know, in the Lord. And you're going to have more of Christ in you, which is going to be manifested outward, you know?
Now, okay, recently, what did you just say, like, 45 seconds ago? That now you're able to, I mean, you've changed.
He was saying that he didn't think that he realized.
Okay. So, now, genuine question. I mean, genuine. Now, could it be that you've let go of how is this possible to just believing it?
Yeah. My whole thing a couple of weeks ago was faith and believing.
Right.
It's like there's no hindrance if you have faith
right.
and belief.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And hope is in there, but you know, I kind of read one part. Hope is what you can't see. Mm-hmm. So that Christ in me, hope of glory, that's what you can't see that's coming, or you'll be, you know. Now there's, I think it uses hope in other ways possibly too, but one of the places it says, you know, it's what you can't see. Hope is what you can't see. Otherwise, it says, why would it be hope? Because if you have it, then you're not hoping, you know. So, but if you, it was like when I was reading in John and didn't know it was only in John. I was trying to find all the places where Jesus said, if you believe, if you believe, if you believe. And I read all the three Gospels before and it never said any of that. And then John, it just says it, you know. So if you believe, and all those things, and then I started saying, well, if Jesus is saying all the, and he says countless ways that you, for your salvation. If this, you have eternal life. If this, you have salvation. Da, 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 da. And then I started saying, well, then why, what's the deal about baptism? I mean, all of this is being said, you know, without a mention of baptism. Saying you can have all that. But I asked it again today, and I had the thought that went, but see, he wasn't glorified yet. And so, you know, there was maybe a different mandate once he actually went to heaven and left it, you know, and then sent the Holy Spirit. But the whole point is, you do have to die with Christ. Mm. And that's what baptism is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to die with him. And you know what that means? And it says if you do that, then you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and you also have the Spirit of the one who raised him from the dead in you, then you'll not walk in sin. So I'm hearing that, and all of a sudden I'm saying, yeah, I believe that.
Right. That's all it takes. That's all it is.
I don't know how much, you know, yet, but I believe it.
Right.
I was, as you were bringing all that, Ken, I was just, you know, as you were reading there in Romans 7 and 8 and so forth, I was seeing that as a baptism set of scriptures. Chapter 7, yeah. We're talking about, oh, would I do that? You know, that's, you die to that. And then in chapter 8, you know, thank God for Jesus Christ. You know,
yeah.
That you are coming up in that resurrection power, walking in the Spirit.
And yeah, that's, you know, you Paul knew he had a victory.
Yeah, you're putting to death the flesh.
Right.
He describes the death,
yeah.
The flesh there in chapter 7. And then you're coming up in newness of life.
You're no longer being condemned
in the Spirit.
By mm-hmm. sin anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
See, well, so we got, you know, Paul in Romans 7 and 8 and all these things. But when you start reading, it just got me. It's okay. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Right?
Right.
What is it that you have to do for that? Nothing. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, I wouldn't even keep reading. You know what I mean? Because if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not living in the flesh anymore.
I know.
How? It's God's problem. You know what I mean? You don't even care.
That's what's been coming across in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Who's in me?
Right.
The Spirit of God.
Right.
And the Spirit of Christ also.
Right. Right. So,
but, you know, the natural man just will not get it.
No.
It will not get it. It's just as when you go down in water, come on, that's not being buried and dead, you know. It come up and, you know, that's not being resurrected. No, it's, no, it isn't. But we need to somehow make it in the Spirit that be that.
See, but
hey, I've been thinking in the flesh. You know, that's why I wasn't seeing it.
See, but the spiritual man, also, we don't have to try to get it either.
No, that's right.
Because it's God's business. It's His, that's how He wants to do it. And He can do whatever. Just let Him do it. If that's what He wants, that's how He wants to do it, I'm not going to argue with that. Just let Him. You know what I mean? Just believe it, take it, and accept it. It's like a gift. Mm-hmm. It's like a gift that you don't know how it works.
So, see, I think that's what has to be shared or preached or whatever before anybody gets baptized. And then you've got what it says you should have. And then it's how you walk in it after that. You know? Uh-huh. I mean, I know, when I was first saved, I mean, I wanted to be pure, because I knew I was different, and my sins had been washed away, and I wanted to be pure. I wanted to be everything that Jesus wanted me to be. You know, I mean, I
wanted to hang on to that state.
Yeah, and I did for quite a while. It's like lots of us, but you know, it was like, yeah, this is glorious. You know, I'm free. You know, and then of course, you know, things. But that's, who cares? I don't care. That's in the past.
Yeah.
If he's doing it again now, I want it. You know,
if you lived a purified life, you know, whatever. Where's the faith in that? You would just say, I mean, you would have the natural evidence of walking without sin or whatever. That wouldn't be it. Not that.
I think it'd be something.
Well, it sure would be something. It would be. You would have proof in the natural, and you'd be kind of self-righteous, I think.
Well, no, but see, that's the point where we can be there, but you can't be that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I guess what I'm thinking is, for at least a spell of time, you've got to claim it by faith or something.
Yeah.
Without the evidence. And then, you know, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I'm saying is when we see this, and that's the condition we're supposed to have. Yeah. Well, then let faith build and let's have it. It's ours to have. And let's start believing it, that it's ours to have. And then, and then it's up to God. I can't make myself be good just to be good. You know, I mean, it's not going to happen.
Sure.
I wonder, you know, if this is maybe like a Catholic lingering thing, because the Catholics always want to show how good they are and that they don't sin and that they are so whatever. So, which is hypocrisy, because they are sinning. I mean, he who says they have those no sin, it's a liar. So it's deception from the devil that you have to be this perfect being, which in fact you have as a person you need. Yes, I sin. I'm as you non-Christian. I'm just like you, but I have the Spirit of God in me. That's the only difference. The behavior, you know what I mean? It might be slightly. I mean, you do have a light that shines, and your responses are different, and you know good. You know, you want to at least, or you something. But as ones that have the Spirit of God in us. Our flesh is identical to those that don't. You know what I mean? We are so that I, you know, sometimes, you know, can be, you know, you're a person. I'm like, yeah, who cares? And, you know what I mean? How about you and me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've been talking, you know, about this for a long time. But it's like, I point fingers to nobody. I don't care what they're doing. You know, I don't.
And when you were sharing that with your aunt, she was affected by that.
Yeah.
Somehow it registered with her. Mm-hmm. Somehow.
Right, right. Yeah, when people think that they have to clean up to come to God. And they see that's a huge lie of the devil. Because you cannot clean up. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever clean up. Mm-hmm. So then you never come to God.
Yeah, where is that main setting that Keith, you quote baptism a lot? Is it in Corinthians or was it in Romans or where? What was the one setting you used a lot of times?
What does it say?
Well, I think it says that Christ is formed in you because of the baptism. Or
is that Romans 6?
Maybe that is still in Romans, but. I thought you had another scripture setting that spoke of baptism. Is it 1 Corinthians? I think it actually
I'm not sure it's 1 Corinthians.
Christ is formed in you in Galatians 4:19.
Oh, man, that's one place.
Maybe. My dear children, whom I'm against.
Well, yeah, that's called kind of praying.
Yeah, that's not tied to baptism, but that's where it's.
I know you. I've heard you quote somewhere a bunch of times.
Galatians 3:27, Ken, might be. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. That was the one I was.
Where did I say?
That's Galatians 3:27. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. I know we've referenced that scripture.
Who is you're looking for again, Tim?
It's a scripture setting for baptism, explaining.
I wonder if you're looking at Romans 6.
Well, that's one of them, but I thought there was another place. I thought Keith, I was quoting something somewhere.
No, you're not. As many of you are baptized into Jesus, we're baptized into his death.
No, yeah.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life.
That's it.
6:4.
That's where it's really explaining where you're at, right?
Okay. Where are you at?
That was Romans, starting in verse 1. Romans 6, starting in verse 1.
Where I was at wasn't my favorite part of it. It was in 6. Didn't know it.
Yeah. Or starting verse 2, actually. And it does go on, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 2. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That's what I'm getting set free from. Being a slave to sin, you know? For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. See, to me, that's what happens with baptism. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you, then you're... Yeah, I want to be baptized, and I want to die with them, and I'm going to look for something good to happen, or whatever, you know. But if you had this going in, don't you think it would mean a whole lot more?
If you can convey it, which is a hard thing to do. If you're not there, you know. But
so for some of us, that didn't get conveyed, and we got baptism. We got baptized. But what if we're seeing it now?
I think you can look back on your old baptism and see what, consider what was accomplished by that.
Yeah. I mean, I was aware of the fact that I was supposed to be dying to self as death with Christ, you know. That it wasn't my life anymore.
We've done a good job of preaching that, dying to self.
Yeah.
Which is another way of convicting.
Right. It is.
Yeah. You know, we got a baptism tank now. We can maybe do it again as long as it's there.
Go ahead.
It had a little difficulty before, but now.
I wanted to.
This is not taken at all away from baptism.
Yeah.
It's saying what it's really about. Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's
as you were saying, it just kind of lit up. That chapter 7 is about the death, and chapter 8 is about the resurrection, and, you know, the whole. There's a good share of the book of Romans here that the background, the foundation for it, or something, is baptism. And it's kind of spelled out explicitly there in chapter 6.
Yeah, 6 really. That's one I was really looking at that hit me the most.
Yeah.
And I couldn't recall.
So he's kind of expanding on the death in chapter 7 and the resurrection in chapter 8. You know, he's.
So what more would you want if you have died and been freed from sin, and if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him?
Yeah.
What more do I want?
Right?
Keith, is this registering with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm listening. One of the things that has not been a part, I mean, we're getting to that place, but one of the things that has not been a part with anybody's baptism has been the humanity of Christ. We're not baptized into a God-man. I was. And we're baptized into the the Son of Man, association with Him. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? I mean, He keeps telling us that He's not coming back as God. He's coming back as a glorified man, God's Son as a man. And I'm not really sure. I tell you what, for years and years and years, I either baptized or some of you baptized, we baptized people in water. All of a sudden, for the last 15 years, we baptized nobody. I started getting convicted. Bad. And it's like, I'm thinking, we don't need baptism anymore. Why do we need baptism? Because the Bible says that we have to be baptized. And I'm thinking, but why do we need it? I mean, I've been thinking along the same lines. And but the more that I sit and listen to the scriptures, the more I see that for whatever reason, even though you and I may not need to be baptized, there are people that are going to be coming in that need to be baptized in Jesus' name, with the revelation that they are being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of the man, Christ Jesus.
Well, and that's kind of the point. If you can't see this, it doesn't mean nothing. And if you see this, it's obvious he's a man. You know? It's obvious you're relating to him as a man. If you see that this all this is being done and you're doing it with him, you're not doing it. It doesn't say one thing about doing it with God.
I know.
You have a terrible time making a case that
God. Tell in one of the places when it says, and the one that raised him is also going to raise you righteousness. And his spirit's going to be in you because of that, you know.
Yeah, well, somebody, you know, was telling, Cliff was talking about being baptized in Jesus' name and as a man. And he said, if that's the way you're looking at it, you're missing the whole point. This is what somebody told him. Because Jesus is not just a man. He's half God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, and that's why, you're right, that's why for any new person, they do need to be baptized in this spirit, in this truth.
They need to be baptized. Well, you know, in the book of Acts, the household of Cornelius, remember when Peter was talking to them and they started speaking in tongues. And so Paul said to his others, what's to forbid us from baptizing them? And you know, so they baptized in the water. And it's like, why? You already got filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you need to be baptized in water?
That is an odd setting.
Huh?
That God did that out of order, some, we think. You know?
Well, it's the same order I was in, but anyway. You
know. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I just think it's making baptism that much more meaningful because you see what's to become of it.
Yeah.
What you're to become after, you know.
We're to live a baptized life. So that is what who are you? Well, we're people who have been baptized. You know, that's kind of fundamental, I think, to the whole deal. I think. I have just a little bit of a revelation of that, but I can see it being fundamental to the whole deal.
In Mark 16, Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You know, it's like, why do you have to be baptized? You know what I mean? Why didn't you? And then it says that, "And he that believes not shall be damned." It don't matter if he's baptized then. And Peter says, it's an act of a good conscience. I don't know.
It's easier to miss than it is to make. Meaning, if you don't believe, you won't be able to have eternal life. But to have eternal life, you have to do both. So there are far more ways not to make it than there is to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The path is narrow.
I mean, because of we have not baptized for so many years, I have had a quandary over this whole thing. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I got answers, because I don't. It's like, why do people do it? Why did we do it? Why does the Bible say to do it? I have not seen the reasons to do it.
Well, now you do, Keith.
Huh?
Now you do.
Well, no, I'm starting to.
Well, now you're starting to.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about it. For 15 years or however many years, you didn't prioritize it. I mean, it wasn't you that were not prioritizing. It was just God. Maybe you wanted to do some other things first. You know what I mean? So.
But I have been under some kind of a thing for 15 years.
What kind of a thing?
Of the Spirit. Why aren't you baptizing? Well, we don't have anybody.
Well, but don't worry. I mean, well, now you who can. Now you do. Now you
15
go.
Years?
Yeah, what is that?
You've been thinking that?
About 15 years.
Oh, never heard you mention it. That much.
Well, you know what? I have it, but it's been there. It's like, you used to baptize, you know, and now there's been no baptism. There's been no baptism.
Yeah, but you're sure that's, well, I want to be careful, because I don't want to, are you sure it's not a, something the devil used, like legalism, sort of, for a while? Not now, but for a while?
Seems to me Keith is just describing the process that he has gone through until we got to where we are right now, and right where we are right now is a good place.
Yeah, I haven't said much about it, but it's been on my mind. It's like, why don't you baptize anymore? Is it not important? And then I said, well, everybody here been baptized.
But, you know, everything in order, Keith. I mean, 15 years ago, we could not baptize.
We didn't have nobody here baptized.
No. Forget about it. Let's say we have 1,000 people. 15 years ago, we didn't comprehend the things that we comprehend right now. So 15 years ago, we would have been baptized in the same way that we were baptizing 50 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Well, I don't think he's worrying about it. He's just describing what's going on. But it is true. Hey, if we'd just been doing things in standard, we wouldn't be having the focus that we have on baptism.
You know, you're right. And it says, do things in order. First, get the understanding. Right. And what is 15 years? Ask God what 15 years look like.
And I'm not saying that... if we get baptized, that all of a sudden we're all saved.
No, I'm not. No, I'm saying
that's not it.
But maybe for those 15 years that you were worried, or
your Peter says, by this saying, baptism does not save you. And as an act of a good conscience.
Yeah, I still don't get all that.
Well, I kind of do. See if I can find it.
I mean, you know, I've been thinking, like, well, we haven't had calls for people to be born again either. And we haven't done a lot of things, you know, because God wasn't putting it there, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, I think
he's just describing the
fact that
he
well,
hasn't, you know.
And it's all of us have been going through something for 15, 20 years to get to where we are now, because that's where God wants us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
And it's really starting to show that it's a fruit, because there's fruit starting to form, you know?
And it's still growing fruit.
One of the greatest miracles is that 7 or 8 only people are of the same mind. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's a miracle.
Yes. Even though it's only 7 or 8, that's a miracle. Didn't that say something about the condition of the rest of it? Or whatever. I got to be careful. We're not any better than anybody, because God's grace is on us, you know?
Well, I think back, I've been baptized twice. Once when I was about 12 years old, and I had no idea why I was being baptized at that time, because I didn't know nothing. Second time, I knew a little bit more, but probably not as much as I should have known. And so I don't know if even being baptized twice was actually beneficial to me. You know what I mean? It was beneficial, but not in what we're learning now. This, you know, what the real meaning and what baptism is really for, you know. So, I know that in time, and I get to where I'm going to have to be rebaptized, and when I'm, you know, to do it for what it really was meant for. You know, first time I was probably 12 years old, and that was a thing they did back, how many years ago that was, you know, because I was never baptized as a baby because of my lifestyle the way it was. So I was baptized a few years after I was adopted, and mom and dad went to church, and we went too, but I didn't know anything about church that much. We just went because they went, you know. Well, that was my first one. The second one was over here. And as I think about it, I did it on a Sunday whenever some other people were doing it, because other people were doing it, I did it, which was not the right reason to do it, you know, knowing what we know, what I know now, you know. Just because somebody else jumps in the lake with a spring bowl don't mean I got to do it, but I did, you know. But, yeah. So, yeah, I'm one of those people that need to get right with the baptism.
That's great. That's good.
You know.
That is good.
And that is a tough question. The way Mark expresses it, it is, you check that one off the list of things you got to do, you know. And so, in a sense, hey, it's the thing you got to do, you better do it. And so you do it, you know.
Right.
But hey, if you're not doing it with a full understanding and appreciation of it and getting a real sense of it, is the process real? Is it still incomplete? You know, I don't know.
Well, I think that's up to every individual.
I guess it is.
You know,
yeah.
The Lord puts it on their heart.
Yeah, and it sounds as though he has put it on Glenn's heart.
Yeah,
I don't know that at least right now, I don't know that he's put it on mine, but...
It's there, but it's not saying I need to go out and get baptized tomorrow.
No.
But you're going to be our first one.
No.
No, because
somebody else might be in a position to be baptized before me, you know, in that right position to do that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Oh, yeah. But,
how many of your children have been baptized?
Just my older ones. Yeah. The boys and Felicity haven't been baptized at all. So we talked about baptism a couple of years ago, and I guess we were going to baptize, and it just never happened. But and now I'm glad that it didn't happen, because, you know, that's right. All this stuff.
Do it for the right reason.
Right.
A lot of things can happen out of ignorance, but also... just an act of obedience. Act of obedience. But it doesn't mean that you have all of the understanding. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 5. What did I understand? But I was in the middle of, you know, the whole chapel, and there were a lot of prayer meetings and whatnot. What did I know? And so really no understanding, but as it's come, and even more recently, understanding the value of speaking in tongues. There was a time when it's just what everybody did. And that's just what everybody did. And whereas today it means something different. So I also wonder if baptism, it's very clear in the Bible, but as the understanding increases, and also maybe when the fullness of time has come, maybe it's time for that to be either a refreshing or it's time with the understanding that we have and that we will continue to gain.
Mm.
It just could be a new thing, an old thing that is new today.
I think, you know, I suppose there, if you look at the whole, or what we've been doing here in the natural, you said, come on, let's get on to something else. All is Baptist. And I don't think that would be right, because we are, like tonight, shedding more light on that thing, you know? Call it obsessive or whatever, or, you know, one track or whatever. Hey, no. There's something good is happening in all that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asking, you know, baptism. Well, Lord, if I haven't seen something, show me. And then all of a sudden, what I started seeing was, what happens when you're baptized knowing that you're dying with Christ?
It's that same.
Well, there's a lot
same
of
deal,
promises or whatever. I don't know. I guess you call them promises or whatever.
I guess I'll look at chapter 7 a little different.
Yeah.
There in Romans.
I mean, and look at how much we've been talking about, like, sin in the flesh and the spirit man. And that gave a new light on that, too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
it started saying, that flesh man, he's. He's not in the picture. Well, he is, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Not my spiritual mind and walk. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know.
Sure.
So, yeah. Now, of course, you know, not walking without sin yet, but I'm much more aware of it, and I'm much more willing to repent whenever I see that I fall into it, you know.
Well, Pablo said it right. He said, do I sin? Yeah, but I don't. You know.
Let me read about six verses in out of the book of Peter. This is in the third chapter of 1 Peter. And he says in the 15th verse, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give an answer. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed because you accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than evil-doing. 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Okay? Sequence. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Okay? We're still really in the same thought pattern. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure also, whereunto even baptism, does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. A lot of it here has to do with the conscience. And
I like what it continues in 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God.
Yeah.
Which can be construed as a baptism scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's we may see baptism all over the place here.
Right.
Well, the thing is, I can't say I have a concrete answer because I don't. But it's like I can't let go of it, no matter what I do.
Well, then we can just do it.
Mm-hmm. But that's what we've been doing. We've just been doing it.
No, you do it. What your vision for it is?
No, that's what I've been for years. Just do it.
Well, I didn't mean it. I meant to go ahead with what.
Yeah.
I guess where I'm a little stifled is if you're seeing that it's the humanity of Christ that you're being baptized with, what else should we want?
There's understanding yet that we don't have. Some major understanding.
I don't know. It's kind of like it. After you do it, it's saying what you have. We're not in it yet.
Yeah,
you know.
I would like to know. You know. I'd like to know it in the same way that Paul was talking about. Old time, I know him. The fellowship of his suffering, the resurrection. Knowing in that kind of way, I have kind of a rough mental ascent. I wouldn't call it that much more of a understanding than what is the natural man has. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe I'm selling myself a little short, but I.
Maybe a question is the act of baptism, knowing what you know, is that an act of faith? Or is that an act of obedience?
I don't know.
I think it's both.
Well, but I mean, if it's to say, I don't know about doing this until I know, then you've taken the faith out. You're just saying, hey, until I know, I'm not. And I'm going, I don't know that that's the stance you want to take.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
I suppose. On the other hand, I would like to know it in that same kind of way. The way, you know, that's what I would like to.
But you wouldn't limit yourself to just that. You would like to know it. Period.
But if something is,
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I guess until you do, you're idiot or whatever. But
you know enough that it is something to be done. The question is, well, I'm going to wait until I've got the total picture. So, okay, God, it's on you now. Until I have the fullness, I'm waiting on you. And God goes, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Where's your faith?
Well, and it's like, if it's supposed to be something that transforms you, how can you know? Right?
Well, and I am not saying I should never have been baptized because I didn't have a full understanding at the time. But there is more about this deal that I would like to. I don't know if it needs to be accompanied by a second baptism. Maybe I'm not feeling that, but maybe not.
Well, maybe to obey is better than understanding.
There is that, because to obey without understanding is an act of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read a few scriptures that were kind of no one can.
Well, then you don't wait.
Yeah, Glenn.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, whom hath raised him from the dead.
And that's in
Colossians 2.
Very good.
Yeah.
Colossians 2. 2.
Here, I'll throw one out at you. How come Paul didn't keep baptizing?
That was recorded.
No, well, he said because I've been sent to preach the gospel.
Right.
He said, I baptized a couple here, maybe this, oh yeah, Stephanus.
Well, he said, God didn't send me to baptize.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Paul says, you know, some are speaking tongues, some interpret, some do this, some do that. Well, Paul wasn't the baptizing.
Right. Well,
yeah. He had other things.
But then he said, but I did baptize a couple. First he said, I didn't baptize.
I don't know. I forget.
Old my kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Didn't have good records.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say that I'm speaking from knowledge of the Spirit right now, but it might be that since Paul really did have such powerful teaching ministry, and he was viewed that way, then maybe there would be some kind of risk that it. That people would be thinking baptized into Paul, whereas if he was a more minor,
well, that's the setting where he brings it up.
If he were just a regular, you know, just regular fellow without this really super ministry, then fine.
But didn't Paul baptize a jailer? I don't see him saying anything about that. But in prison or in jail?
Well, he was one of the reasons he didn't baptize, he was in jail most of the time.
He wasn't drinking water at all.
They just put up water.
Right.
What, was he supposed to be Ron T.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I think Charlie, though, said something that we should contemplate a little more. There might be a whole lot more scriptures that are baptismal scriptures than we see
right
now. Kind of like, I think Christ is a man. And then
you see that
like,
all over the place.
Then it's like 5 years later, we're just going, you know, I found another one. But you don't see the words Christ was a man hardly at all. But the scripture, when you look at it, says it all the time. And so I'm beginning to think that baptism is really a much, much bigger thing, but it's not. You will see a baptismal type setting, but you won't see the word baptism.
Could be.
I think now I can see a little bit. I think where the Spirit was putting me was the effect of it. Not arguing for or against it, but what's the effect of it? What's the outcome of it? You know? That's kind of what
it does.
So that's what I've been seeing is I've been trying to read after that it happens, what. You know, and that's where all those other scriptures come in. That so you're dead to sin, you're dead to yourself. You should be living a resurrected life in righteousness. You know, and if that's so, then Lord, help me do that. You know, help me be that.
That's certainly where we want to be.
Yeah.
We're instructed to walk in His steps. He's the older brother. And one of the ways of walking in His steps is to go through the death, burial, and resurrection.
And you know, in the vein of no two people come to the Lord alike, no two baptisms are going to be the same.
Probably so. Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, that's the other thing I'm kind of holding back, is I don't want to try to speculate what should be happening, because, you know, because that's up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody told you, get baptized and you'll get rid of smoking. You know,
but
I mean,
how much more do we have to instruct now than we ever did?
Much more.
You know what I mean?
You know, when I got baptized, I'm baptized so your sins will be forgiven. Okay. So I got baptized, okay, sins forgiven. Well, now I'm understanding how they are being forgiven.
Right.
So I don't know that I need to.
That's a little bit of it too.
No, I don't plan on being rebaptized.
Yeah. But, you know, nobody's ever asked me to baptize them. But if somebody says, hey, Pablo, you know what? Baptize me. Okay. I mean, I'll tell them everything that we've talked about. Baptize him and let him go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But one of the things that is so major now is that we are not baptizing into a God.
Right.
We're baptizing into the Lord Jesus Christ.
It certainly makes Christ being perfect a whole lot more.
Yeah.
It certainly says to all of us, He, in the flesh, not a deity, did this.
Yeah.
And
which is the whole
it is the promise.
Yes.
It is a promise that if we are baptized, He will be in us. Standing like the Father.
And so the angels told us, or angels said that He's coming back just like He left. And the Bible says, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it says, it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like, but when He appears, we're going to be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. So we're going to be like Him?
Yes.
As He is?
Yes. 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 Yes.
And how do you do that if He's a God?
That's right.
You don't.
Well, God has given us a major, major revelation. Now I'm going to say the thing that's been on my mind all day. Now go out and preach it.
I will, as I'm led.
You will be.
Well, I'm not ready for it yet. I'll tell you that.
You will be.
Yep, yeah, by faith.
We will be.
Gotta wait until this quarantine is over.
When God says go, we'll go. We won't even worry about the quarantine.
No.
There's only three of us here.
You'll be like Paul preaching in jail.
We love you all.
All right.